joining us now by phone, as he does every Saturday morning at 9:30. Larry Weber, good morning.
Good morning, and I hope you're enjoying this new month so far.
I am so far.
Yes, we're getting it off with a lot of stuff that's just left over from May, so I'll say a few things about May first. Once again, we had a month, well, there's several in a row now, where the temperature has been below normal. We ended the month with some warm days, but the temperature still averaged about 2 degrees less than normal. In addition to that, thanks to the rains of yesterday and the day before, and caused some considerable. Yesterday, we had a pretty intense storm pass through here with hail the whole bit. Statistically, it ended up again with a month of more than normal precipitation. It's been quite fascinating to see all that, and it has really made a change. From the beginning of the year, it is estimated that close to 90% of the state was in drought, and now here we are, 1st of June, and it's estimated as only less than 10% of the state that's still in drought. Many places in the state had record-setting months with the amount of moisture that happened here in May. We didn't quite get as much, but we certainly got enough to keep a lot of wonderful things going on. There's a lot of greening. Many years by the first week of June, the woods is entirely leafed out. We haven't reached that, and we probably won't for another 10 days or maybe even more. There are a few trees out there that still haven't started to open their buds, but for the most part, they're almost all budding. I don't quite understand why this trio is the last of the three, but ash, sumac, and big tooth aspen tend to be the last three to leaf out. Now, they're entirely unrelated trees, so I don't quite understand that. But the big oaks and the big maples and the big basswood have all started to leaf out this week, so we're certainly going to have a greening effect. And when that happens, of course, that means the woods below is being shaded. The spring wildflowers that were trying to make their scene in late May, and I did see quite a few. I led a group this week out at Jay Cook State Park, and we found about 15 kinds in bloom. We found about another 10 that were in bud, almost ready to bloom, but they're not going to have as much more sunlight. They'll have to have a pretty quick blooming season before it starts to get shady over them. Meanwhile, right nearby them, the fiddleheads of the ferns were just abundant. I think we spent as much time talking about and looking at fiddleheads as we did the wildflowers. The one ingredient, though, I usually like to look for at that time was missing, and that was any of the fungi. I don't know what it is. Perhaps it's just been too cool, but we've had enough moisture for various kinds of fungi to come about. This time of year is never a time of large amounts of fungi, but there usually is some. And we didn't see much at all. The other thing I made note last week that the wild plums, the little shrubs along the side of the road, were starting to bloom, and that they would be followed by a few others. Well, those others are in the movement now. Large numbers of Juneberry are in bloom right now along the side of the roads. If you're driving around and you see little trees that have white flowers on them, plum and Juneberry are the most common. And then last night when I was out on a walk, I found two more. I found elderberry and pin cherry that were also in bloom. That'll be followed pretty soon by chokecherry. Crab apples will be soon to open up their blossoms. Apples soon to open up their blossoms. Hawthorn. And then the one that many people have been waiting for, and that's lilac. Mm. I took a little trip this week where we went to St. Cloud. And I don't consider that much further south of here, but all the trees I just said were all in bloom along the side of the road, so it made for quite a trip. In addition to that, we are in toad time. It just started a couple of days ago, and it's going to end just as abruptly. Toads reproduce. They live on land, but they reproduce in water. And every year, usually earlier in May, they start to do their calling. And they go to the water, and they start to sing. We tend to think of anything as rough-looking as a toad would have a very low, deep pitch voice, but they don't. They have a high-pitched trill, sort of a noise like that. And when they get started, they go on and on and on. And conditions were just right this week. We had warmer temperatures. We had a lot of rain. And the next day, the toads were everywhere. That continued yesterday. This morning, I had not heard them yet, but I think it's because of cool. They probably will be calling a little bit later. But just that fast, their breeding season is over. And then they will leave within a week, definitely. They will leave, and they'll go back to land again. And then later in the summer, we see the results of it. We see the little tiny toads that tend to show up in late July. In addition to that, the other frog that started to call this week was the gray tree frog. Gray tree frogs, a lot like toads, they live their life on land. But when it comes time for breeding, they will go to the water. And they will start this calling a lot of times by still being up in trees, but then they'll go on from there to get to the water. So those are some great indicators of the season moving along. We did have more migrants. The migrating season for the warblers is moving on really well. There's still more to come. Plenty of other birds showing up. This week was especially a good week for me for flycatchers. I saw several species of flycatchers. And some of the late migrants that are usually a little bit towards the end of May or early June also showed up this week. Of course, nighthawk, scarlet tanager, house wren, cuckoo, indigo bunting, all of them this week have already arrived. Now, many of those will stay in nest, but many of them move on. And then finally, I have to tell you of another fantastic sighting. This happened yesterday. I was out biking before the storm hit, and what did I see but the first monarch of the season.
No.
Yes. Now, until about 10 years ago, the 1st of June is pretty much always when I expected to see the first monarch. But since the last 10 years, it has been in May. Matter of fact, last year it was the 13th of May already. Wow. So, but nevertheless, it's a great sighting. We had a beautiful south wind, see? And that it just rode up on the south wind. Now, how many more of those we're going to see in the next few weeks, I don't know. But it was sure great to see the first one. So, well, have a beautiful weekend, and get out and enjoy. We're going to have a lot of things still to see.
All right. Thanks, Larry.
Yeah. Take care.
All right. Larry Weber, retired science teacher who taught students from 7th grade to graduate school. He's twice named Science Teacher of the Year. He lives with his wife in an old farm in Carlton County where he watches, photographs, and writes about critters. Larry joins us every Saturday at 9:30 on North Shore Weekend.